When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Is everybody as sleepy as I am this morning, missing that extra hour we have sprung forward? You might think it's only 10 o'clock, it's really 11 o'clock, and delighted to have you with us today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, lines are open. Online, thinkglink.com. If you want to buy some stuff, go to thinkglinkstore.com or follow me on Twitter at glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Where to start today? I thought that we would start with the new CoreLogic report where it showed that home prices have risen by an average of 12% year over year in January. I know it's March 9th, my husband Sam's birthday today. Happy birthday, Sammy. 12%. In places like Atlanta and some other places, it's gone up quite a bit more than that, and we'll talk about it. In fact, including distressed sales, the five states with the highest home appreciation, and it's important that we include distressed sales, Georgia is number five on the list. So top five states, highest home appreciation. Georgia was up 13%, Nevada was up 22%, California 20%, Oregon was 14%, Michigan 13.7%. And the only place where home prices fell January to January was in Mississippi, down about a third of a point, which is not so great. Now, what happens when you exclude distressed sales? And for a lot of people, excluding distressed sales is important because distressed sales, where somebody goes into foreclosure or short sale, a lot of people view that as not being the real price appreciation or depreciation. It's not real. And I don't know if I agree with that because you're out there and you're trying to sell your house. It matters what the house next door sold for, even if it was a distressed sale, even if it sold for as a foreclosure or a short sale. So that matters too. And so anyway, but they do publish these with and without. So if you look at single family sales, and this is not including condos, it's just single family sales, including distressed. Prices rose in the Riverside, San Bernardino, Ontario, California area, 22%. If you excluded it, it's 18.6%. So Atlanta, this, again, just single family, Atlanta, Sandy Springs, Roswell. So you can see it's a larger area than just Atlanta proper. Single family home prices, including distress, rose 15.9%, excluding distress, 11%. So how does that work? Right, you would think that if you excluded distressed property, that you would have that flipped around and the home price increases would be higher if the low price stuff wasn't there, right? That's the intuitive sense. But it doesn't quite work that way because what ends up happening is that home prices on distressed properties have risen so fast over the last year or two that you're getting the bump up for the appreciation than if you took it away. So what does that tell you? Well, you got to think about that for a minute. That tells you that home price sales for everything other than what's going on in distressed may not be rising as much as people think, that it's kind of leveled off. And that's what you're hearing people talk about, that home price appreciation in general, which by this they must mean without distressed property, has kind of held back. Now, when I was giving my speech to the New England Realtors Association a couple of weeks ago at the end of February, and I heard Lawrence Young speak, and we talked about this a little bit last week, his pictures show sales dropping off a cliff for the beginning of this year, which is really interesting now that we're watching the economic numbers come in, right? Because we're seeing that maybe the last quarter of last year wasn't as strong as we thought. We saw a big revision downward, almost one percentage point, down to, I think it's 2.4%, or maybe it was 2.6 from 3.4%. 3.4% isn't bad for growth, by the way. 2.6% is slow, and they thought it might be even lower than that. So we'll see what the next revision looks like. There's usually a couple of revisions. And the first quarter, with the worst winter that we've ever had in Chicago and in most of the northern half of the country, and by the way, it's not been so great in Atlanta, although beautiful today, right? 70 and sunny. That has had a tremendous impact both on what's been new construction homes being built, other kinds of manufacturing. There's been work stoppages. I was with some of our clients in Atlanta, in New York this week, from Atlanta, their clients in Atlanta, but we all flew to New York for a meeting. And we were talking about how many days their company has been closed this year due to ice and snow. It's like 3 or 4. And you think about how many days school has been closed, and the whole school closing debacle, but that kind of weather has really had an impact on so many other things. So the first quarter of this year is now looking like it's not going to be as good. Well, when the weather is that bad, it's so bad that you can't get to school and you can't go to the office, you're not actually going out and looking at homes either. And so some of the decline is based on the fact that people just didn't go to showings, right? They just, weather was awful, and they decided to stay home, and, you know, we'll buy next month, or the month after, or the month after. But some of it is that mortgage interest rates are going up. And so last week, I didn't really get a chance to talk about this too much, but one of the things that has started, I think, to sink in is that mortgage interest rates, which are about 1% higher than they were a year ago for a 30-year fix. A year ago, we were talking about 3.5%, roughly, for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Now we're at 4.5%. By the end of 2014, economists expect that mortgage interest rates will be over 5%. Over 5%. In fact, it might even be 5.2%. And what Lawrence Young was saying, and I heard a lot of realtors echo this, is that they think home buyers, especially first-time home buyers who are in the late 20, early 30 range of age, years old, are a little bit shocked by how much mortgage interest rates have gone up and how much more expensive houses are. Just anyway, the home prices are creeping up, and then you've got higher interest rates on top of it. And if mortgage interest rates go over 5%, as they're widely expected to do, what is that going to do to sales, which are already declining? And so there's this feeling, and I wonder if there are any people who are in their 20s and 30s who are looking for a house would care to comment on this, or who are still renting, who are listening right now, that, and you can tweet this instead if you want to tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and weigh in. But I'm wondering, are rising interest rates scaring you? Because that's the contention out there. The contention is rising interest rates are scaring home buyers into not buying, and that they're going to sit on the sidelines and just kind of wait because they're in the expectation of what's been going on. Mortgage rates go up, mortgage rates go down, they'll go down again, and they'll go all the way down to 3% or 3.5% for a 30-year fixed rate loan, and then I'll buy. That's what some realtors, are thinking is the way of the world right now. And I don't think people are that unsophisticated. I don't think that's what's going on here. I think that young people, and I wish I could still include myself in that grouping, but people in their 20s and early 30s who are thinking about buying a house or who would have liked to have bought a house are now thinking that their job situation is really uncertain and they're not making as much money as they had hoped. They've got big student loans, and they're just going to push off home buying. And we're seeing that in the numbers. We're seeing it reflected in the number of first-time home buyers who are out there looking around. So it'll be really interesting to know what you think. So give me a call, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If we get somebody to respond to this, we'll certainly put them on. And, of course, lines are open anyway, folks. Got to wake up. We've pushed ahead an hour. But I'm here happy to take your calls and talk a little bit about this. I also want to talk about some of the things going on with credit scores and what the CFPB is has been asking creditors to do. And you're already seeing, if you have a Discover card, you're already seeing it on your Discover card statement, which is your free credit score, and how that's actually happening. So I want to talk about that. In light of Visa and MasterCard joining together to form a new group that is going to crack down on international fraud. I think it's probably the only way to do it. All right, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also follow me on Twitter and tweet there, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com at midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
It's 24 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We are talking about why you're not buying houses, that is. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Cindy joins me on the line from Roswell. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So what do you think?
Buying a house, and 6 months ago when I qualified for the loan, my FHA fixed rate was 4.375%. And I just did my lock on my loan. Here we are, what, 5-6 months later almost, and it was still 4.375%. So I think a lot of things that are happening with people, is what happened with me, is I was just confused about what kind of loan I could get and all the different options and what the interest rates were for those. I was at the max on what I could qualify for, so there was some concern that if the rate went up, that I might not qualify. But the solution I made in my mind for that was I just put more money down, and then I wouldn't have a problem qualifying.
Right, which is actually, if you could do that, a great thing. Is this a first house for you?
No, it's not. It's my fifth.
Your fifth house. All right, so you're already a little bit familiar with the process. It's interesting. Have you always chosen the same loan type?
No. The last house we bought, we had an adjustable rate mortgage, and I said I'd never do that again.
Ah, why not?
Because it was so bad. The swing was so bad on it, and it was also an interest-only loan.
Oh, right. Yeah, I could see not ever doing another interest-only loan, that's for sure. Actually, it would be very hard to do one of those today. All right, so when are you supposed to close?
April 16th.
All right. Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. 26 minutes past the hour. Matthew joins me on the line. Matthew, what about you? Why are you not buying?
Well, Elise, I'm 31. I have a family of six total. We have put in probably about 6 to 8 different offers on houses. And the wall that we keep running into is that it is cash buyers coming in and underbidding us and making it where, you know, we just don't get the houses. So we have actually thought outside the box a little bit and looked at properties that are zoned commercial but are still residential that could possibly allow us the opportunity to experience the great American dream and owning your own home.
So what do you mean about properties that are commercial but are residential?
Locations such as up off of a main street in a small town where the house, the city has zoned it commercial, but it is a residential dwelling. So the seller is trying to sell it as commercial property, but there is a home on it where it could be, you know, livable.
Interesting. Well, that's, listen, putting in 6 to 8 offers really stinks. I mean, I can't imagine anything worse, but I agree with you. One problem has been that cash buyers who are oftentimes hedge funds or even, you know, people who are downsizing, taking their equity, that's another big piece of the problem. And I should talk a little bit more about that and why that's happening. But you're right, that is really cutting into the market for so many people. And it is a big problem for people. So you want to buy, you just can't at the moment. I'm hoping that this next property works for you. Why aren't you buying? Or why can't you close? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Klink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, we'll take your calls next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Klink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Six minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. My website, thinklink.com. We have a twice-weekly newsletter. Both of them are free. One of them has Glinkonomics, which is kind of my take on what's going on. And then the other one is kind of our weekly newsletter with certain news and information you need and links to some of the places where the content appears, like Yahoo or CBS News or whatever it is. So sign up for both of those. Or you can find me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We've been talking about the, you know, why you're not buying houses. And it's kind of interesting to, you know, think about the whole idea that mortgage interest rates might be going up. And Trulia, which is an online real estate, like listing marketplace kind of place, it's kind of like Zillow. Trulia sent out a press release, I don't know, a couple, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and said that 5% is kind of the breaking point. That up until interest rates are 5% for a 30-year fixed rate loan, it is cheaper to buy a house than rent a house. Once mortgage interest rates get beyond 5%, it's going to be cheaper to rent a house than buy a house. I thought that was really interesting because mortgage interest rates are going up. And so does that mean that nobody should ever buy a house? So I called Jed Kolko and I said, hey, he's the chief economist over at Trulia. And I said, you know, I bought my first house at 11.75%. Was I like the biggest idiot in the world? Is that what happened there? He said, no. Because that was a really long time ago. You know, and it doesn't mean that you shouldn't buy. It just means that at that snapshot, that point in time, if you just look on a numbers basis, that the rental property price will be cheaper than the buying price. Now, it's not completely true for every marketplace. And in Atlanta, where property prices fell more, or Las Vegas, parts of California, the entire state of Michigan, as I keep saying, although that's not even really true anymore. You know, home prices do feed into that calculation, and it's not an exact science, but it's sort of interesting to think about, you know, people calling in, you know, over the last few minutes saying, you know, really, I'm worried about rising interest rates, and maybe they'll go down again, and that does seem to confirm what the realtors are saying, which is that people are afraid of rising interest rates, so they're not buying houses. And, you know, I'm not quite sure that rising interest rates... Maybe it's that everybody just needs to get used to the idea of higher interest rates. The Fed is still buying mortgage-backed securities at the rate of something like $65 billion a month. It used to be $85 billion. So there's less pressure there, but they're still, you know, unconvinced that we've turned around in the economy. The employment numbers aren't great. Labor participation rate is like at a 30-year low. There's other stuff going on. Be interesting to see what else is scaring people. Cash buyers, maybe people are out there trying to buy houses and they just can't find enough to buy. And that was another thing that came up with the realtors, is that they're having trouble convincing sellers to list their homes. Nobody wants to leave. And you still have 10 million people who are underwater. And in places like Atlanta, we talked about this last week, you know, the effective underwater rate is about 54% or 53% for anybody who has a mortgage. And that means that even if you're kind of on parity with what your mortgage is worth and what the house is worth, when you sell, their closing costs, like the commission and other things, it would require you to bring a check to the closing, or, you know, basically you're short sale. You're still underwater. So I think that there's a pressure there for sellers to just keep hanging on, because home prices will continue to grow, although I can tell you it won't grow at 12% again this year. So interesting to understand why people aren't buying. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Tom joins me on the line. he's trying to join me on the line. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You're calling from South Carolina?
Yes.
Delighted to have you. What can I do for you?
Got a question. Was married, got a divorce, had a child, had major league, almost $1 million in medical bills. He's alive and he's doing well. He was a preemie. Had to do a Chapter 7 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That may have kicked me in the butt. But my question is this. My DTI is 19%, which is my debt to income.
Yep. It's
without a mortgage or anything. I have I'll be a first-time home buyer. Do I stand a snowball's chance of I found a property. There's a realtor starting to blow sand up my tail and tell me that I can get in for $100 down USDA, da 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 da, and I've got $10,000 to put down. I'm looking at probably somewhere in around $150 or less on a home. You know. There are some for sale I'm interested in, but I'm not sure what I should do.
Well, so let's talk about this for a minute. You've got two and a half years out of your Chapter 7 bankruptcy?
Since discharge.
Is this property that you found a HUD home?
No.
It's just somebody is living there and it's paid off. Has that seller agreed to finance you, or have you talked to any lenders yet?
I have not talked to a lender. The reason I haven't, I used to be in the business for 20 years. I had to change careers after a layoff, and I have not talked to anyone.
So I'm not sure. So there used to be this thing where if you, and this was a couple of years ago, if you had a foreclosure, short sale, or bankruptcy, you were 5 years in the penalty box in terms of being able to get a loan. But that has been eased dramatically because guess what? The banks finally figured out that if you exclude all those people, that's a big chunk of people who want to buy houses again.
Right.
So they've kind of like quietly shoved that under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at your credit score?
Yes, 709.
That's good enough to buy a house.
I think so. On the 1003,
mm-hmm.
One of the questions it asks, have you filed in the last 3 years?
Right.
It's on the last page of the 1003.
Yep.
Or whatever the heck they call it now. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I just wanted to try to find out some, you know, and I was impressed with your show, first time I've ever heard it. But,
thank you.
I understand that, you know, the biggest thing is these days where I'm at, there's places for sale, but the income that the people have is not there. You know, so I think I have an advantage. It's not Atlanta. And it's more of a buyer's market right here.
So that's really great for you because you said you're in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Great for you. I think that income is a huge factor, and I said that earlier in the show, as one of the reasons why younger people aren't buying. I think the income isn't there when they have all these other debts. You've got a child that you're supporting, and you know you're still able to buy. I think what I would do is have an off-the-record conversation with a lender, somebody you trust. Right. You've been in the business. You know, find somebody who's really smart. Maybe a mortgage broker, not a mortgage banker. You'll eventually have conversations with several different people, but somebody who runs the gamut from FHA loans down to conventional, and just say, look, here's my situation. I have a 709 FICO. You know, this is my income. These are my debts. I used to be in the business. Bankruptcy 2.5 years ago. What do you think? Do I wait 6 months and then buy a house? Because it doesn't sound like your marketplace is going to really change all that much in 6 months. You've got mortgage interest rates rising. It's not an environment that feeds a buying frenzy necessarily.
Yeah.
And see what that lender says, because they may say to you, you know what? Your 3 years is almost up. Give it 2 more months, let's put in your application to close after the 3 years and go out and buy a house and just and push out the closing date to 6 months and you're good to go. And you may say that you may say, wow, I hadn't that would be great. Or they may say to you, we don't even want to run the risk with the way that it's going of even opening your file before 3 years, come back in 6 months.
Okay. That's good advice. There's two things. You prompted two questions.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a minute ago, you said something, you talked to somebody about if the APR is 5 or above, it's cheaper to rent or something.
Yeah.
I missed part of that. The other thing was you mentioned something about a HUD home. Is there something with those that maybe I should look at?
So, yes. So the thing I mentioned about the 5% or above, it wasn't really APR necessarily. It's just the mortgage interest rates. And you can look on Trulia. Jed Kolko is the chief economist of Trulia. He's a friend of mine.
Right.
And he writes really smart blogs about this kind of stuff. He's just got a way with words. He's kind of a wordsmith. Anyway, he's the one who said that he thinks that there that 5% is kind of this demarcation point where it's going to be cheaper to rent on the other side. But at some point in time, that isn't really true because home prices will rise further than they are today.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at this snapshot, that's kind of, for his mind, his money, that's the snapshot moment where it's you fall on one side or the other. Now, for HUD homes, the reason I brought up HUD homes is that if you go to HUDHomestore.com, HUDHomestore.com, that is the official website for HUD home listings in the country. And the reason I mention it is that they have special dispensation for people who have gone through bankruptcy and foreclosure and short sale. And it kind of matters, by the way, why you ended up in bankruptcy. And for you, you know, these huge medical bills as opposed to I just ran up credit card debt and, went to the Bahamas. So, but HUD Homes has, they have some very special programs where you literally can get in for $100 down payment. That's why I asked you when you said, oh, you could put down whatever it was, a buck, and have your down payment. I thought, oh, is it a HUD home? Because there are these special circumstances, and it, you know, they have other kinds of financing and stuff going on. So if you're in an area like South Carolina where it's a buyer's market, there may be a lot of HUD homes where they are looking to sell, especially right at the beginning when they first get listed, to an owner-occupant rather than an investor. And so that tends to be people who are paying with a mortgage rather than cash, or the prices can be super cheap. They've got special programs for police officers, firefighters, teachers, where you can get in for super low down payments, HUDHomestore.com. So you may find something there, and for those of you who called in and said you're having trouble competing with the cash buyers, you get the advantage there. The only thing with the HUD home is you've got to use a realtor, a real estate agent who is a HUD-approved agent to make the offer. You, as an individual, can't do it on your own. And the way you find a good one is go look at the homes that have closed and who's helped in those neighborhoods, and then that person probably understands how to work that system, and that's who you would call to represent you. It's kind of like a self-feeding, self-dealing system, but such is life in the big world of HUD. Tom, let me know how it goes, okay? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. It's 55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. We are Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. If you're just waking up, we were on already for an hour. Sorry about that. We skipped ahead an hour this morning. You may have forgotten. We are springing forward so that we get more daylight. So it was really nice when I woke up this morning around 6 or something, and it was bright sunny. Very nice to have that, and it's a beautiful day. Hope you're out enjoying it, or if not, listening to us and then going out and enjoying it. I want to continue that conversation on why you're not buying or why you're not able to close, maybe is the better way to do it. So 404-872-0750, if you are 20s, 30s, 40s, trying to buy a home, or want to buy a home but seem to can't seem to find the right house. Or if you've decided that mortgage interest rates are rising and that's scary and you don't want to buy the house, or whatever it is you're thinking, maybe it's something we haven't thought of yet. The realtors are confused, and so I thought we'd try and spend a little time today answering those questions and helping them understand a little bit about what's going on or not going on in the marketplace. So 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll talk about that more in a moment. I do want to just follow up on the rising interest rates conversation. So I got a tweet about that. So when I said that mortgage interest rates are expected to be over 5% by the end of the year, 5.2%, that is what some economists are forecasting based on the Fed pulling back on what used to be $85 billion a month in mortgage-backed security purchases and other kinds of security, and now it's down to $65 billion a month, which is still a huge amount of money. This is not a small amount of money. It is a huge amount of money, trillions of dollars in the Fed balance sheet, and it's been going on for a couple of years now as the Fed has tried to push down mortgage interest rates and other interest rates with the idea that people will borrow more if they're able to. And it hasn't quite worked out as expected. I mean, I think that we've got this low interest rate, and it's been low. It's rising now. It's expected to continue to rise. So I'm not quite sure what the relationship is between the Fed purchases, why at $65 billion interest rates or $55 billion a month interest rates would end up at 5% versus at 6% versus 4.5%. But anyway, there's some sort of relationship that economists have figured out, and that is what the expectation is. By the end of this year, in another 9 months or so, we're going to see mortgage interest rates creep up from where they are now, which is about between 4.3 and 4.6%, up to 5 or 5.2%, at which point in time there's an expectation that it will be cheaper to rent a house than to buy one. It doesn't mean that people will stop buying. I know realtors around the country are hoping that is not what it means, but there is a concern that that rising interest rate is acting as sort of a shock value, and there may be a period of time where people say, well, I'll buy when interest rates go down again, and there will be a period of time where we have to expect that people have to adjust the idea that they're not going down anytime soon. And just to give you a little historical perspective, mortgage interest rates have actually been below 7%, below 6.5% for 21 years. Unbelievable. But they have been at 6% or 5.5% for a lot of that. 59 minutes past the hour. We're going to take some more of your questions next. We have a whole other hour of the Elite Point Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open. I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 12:07. Good morning to those of you waking up thinking it's an hour earlier. We have sprung forward this Sunday morning. 404-872-0750. We're talking about why you aren't buying and what you can do, what we can do, maybe do about that to solve some of these problems, or maybe not. And this is just something that time is going to work out. The realtors are very concerned. Pending home sales seem to be falling nationally. And there are some concerns out there that maybe it's rising interest rates that are scaring people. But that is not what everybody on the air is saying today. 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Sean joins me on the line now. So, Sean, why do you think people are not buying houses?
Well, thank you. I want to first say that I really like your show. I just turned it on. I'm passing through Atlanta, and you very articulate things very well. And I am a big fan of Trulia, by the way. three reasons that things are not selling is because the unemployment is really, really much lower than, you know, the facts might suggest. So people can't get a job. The other thing is the banks have these little bit higher standards now that people, you know, used to be able to get, and now they just do not qualify. You know, no job, and they got to do all this paperwork and prove. And the third thing is that it's a big unknown. I mean, prices literally tumbled. You can't upgrade because you're underwater, and so they're afraid. They don't know if their asset they buy is going to go up or not.
So it's really interesting, this whole idea that we've built over the last 10 or 15 years. And I got to say, HGTV is a big part of this sort of flip for success kind of thing, where people look at their houses as investments and not just as places to live. And it's a profound difference from where it was, say, 50 years ago, when people were like, well, I need to live somewhere. I'll buy a house. I'll rent a house. And this idea that it may or may not be as good an investment, I think, is key, really key. And you're right to hint on that, Sean. Really key to this idea of do I buy going forward rather than not. I think all of your reasons are good. Unemployment is substantially higher than I think is being accurately translated for us. And I think that's what you're getting at, is that more people are out of work and that the people who do have jobs are not getting paid as much. And you're right about the banks having higher standards. So where are you from? You said you're passing through Atlanta. Where are you on your way to?
I'm on my way back to Florida, and I have a home in Orlando, and I bought some property in North Florida where I like to visit and spend time in the, you know, I have a few acres out there. But, you know, it really is a perfect storm to buy a house because, you know, as the Fed cuts back, inflation is inevitable, and if you can get a loan, you'll be paying back the bank dollars today that'll be worth less tomorrow. So even if you bought a home, my question is, and a lot of people is, are houses at the bottom or are they going to go up?
Well, if they're at the bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. Here's what I really think. I think that if you buy a house today, and I feel this about stocks as well and the stock market, if you buy for the long run, you're fine. And by long run for homes, which is different than stocks, you know, you got to be looking at 7-8 years as a minimum. Unless you very specifically buy the kind of place where you're building in value, you're adding on, you're doing something truly as an investment, right? You're making an investment into that house with the expected return to be greater. But if you buy a house in 5 to 7 years or 7 to 8 years as a minimum, you should be able to get out of it what you put in, maybe a little bit, because that's really all that houses ever were, is investments. If you're holding for the long run, you know, I've been in my house for 20-odd years. My house is worth a lot more than it was 20 years ago when I bought it. Well, you would expect that, right? Even in just keeping pace with the rate of inflation, you would expect that to be the case. Do I think that housing prices won't go down again? No. I think we have another recession, massive recession, that's on the level of the Great Recession we've just gone through, which was the second worst in U.S. history. Yeah, I think home prices are going to go down again. Where they go down, well, to find that out, we'd all need our crystal balls to be working. Sean, thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750. Robert joins me on the line from Peachtree City. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Oh, good afternoon. I enjoy your show, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I can't speak specifically to the larger group, but I can share my experience. I'm retired military, living off my pension. It is quite comfortable. I'd like to buy a house here, moved here about 4 years ago, and just notionally talking with lenders, I have a question between what they notionally doing a back-of-the-envelope calculation and what my research has shown. I understand roughly the formula is roughly three times your income, and when I start the pre-qualification process, they give me a figure that they said it was 273, which is more than three times my income. I have bought a house before, And it wasn't an issue then because I was earning more than enough to pay for it, and I expect to be working soon. But I have a question about the difference between what I think the three times your income figure as opposed to what I was quoted by two different lenders just doing kind of a notional amount.
So why is it that lenders are letting you borrow more than you think you should be able to borrow or less?
Yes. Far more. $120,000 more.
So here's the deal, Robert. So you have, and this is how it's calculated. If you're buying a conventional loan and you're putting 20% down, the amount that you can borrow is supposed to be no more than 36% debt-to-income ratio, 28% of gross monthly income to your mortgage, taxes, and insurance, and no more than 36% total debt. But if you don't have a car loan, and you don't have a school loan, and you don't have credit card debt, you can spend all 36% on your mortgage, taxes, and insurance for the house.
Okay.
And so when mortgage interest rates are at 3.5%, that number was more like 4 to 4.5 times your gross monthly income, something you may or may not be comfortable with. And when your interest rates go up a little bit, that falls, but it depends what price of a loan they're quoting you and how much you actually have to put down. So if you want to do the numbers yourself and you want to play around with that, what you're looking for is 28 or 36% of gross monthly income. Now, if you're buying with an FHA loan, you can go up to 43% of gross monthly income, which honestly is going to feel like 55 or 60% of your take-home pay. I find that to be very uncomfortable for myself, and I like to keep things at 25% or less, and everybody's a little different on where their risk, you know, feelings, you know, what lets them sleep at night. So what's going to let you sleep at night is going to be different than me, for example, or maybe
sure.
not. But if you're making $10,000 a month, let's just say, because that's an easy number for me to do in my head. You've got $10,000 gross monthly income, so that's before taxes are taken out, $120,000 a year. A lender would say you could spend $2,800, right, 28% of gross monthly income, taxes, insurance, and mortgage, or up to $3,600 a month if you don't have any other debt. And that's really what is going on. And so then it's a question of, well, what does that $2,800 to $3,600 a month buy you? And when mortgage interest rates are lower, it'll buy you more. And when they're higher, it'll buy you less. And that's how they're calculating it.
I see. Okay, very good.
All right. So take a look. There are a lot of different places online that you can go and see if, you know, play around with that and see what that numbers will do for you. 404-872-0750. Steve joins me on the line from Canton. Steve, why do you think houses aren't moving?
It's a pretty simple equation in my view. Is that still more lack of confidence in the economy. There was a time in the country when people had lots of confidence in the government and the economy, and that's been severely shattered. And I think that we'll continue to have an economy that's hampered because of it. And there's not any one thing that I believe that the government, interest rates, or anything could do to change that.
Okay, so you just think it's going to take time for everybody to heal and to start to feel a little bit better about the economy and about the government and about what's happening. So time and rebuilding, that's going to make the difference. And maybe you're right about that. I don't know. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I like to think that people need to have confidence in themselves, and the government will take care of itself. But if you feel confident about your prospects, if you think, despite what's going on about you, if you have confidence that you're going to have your job, and confident that that job is going to bring you an income that you can count on over the next 5 to 7 to 10 years, you're going to go out and buy a house. And that's where you are in your life. And there's a really interesting overlay of sort of personal confidence with relationship confidence, with family confidence and all of that coming in together. But I think, Steve, you're right about confidence. I think that word is really important in where we are today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It is 1218. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. 24 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. The question of the day, why aren't you buying? Why can't you buy? What is causing it? Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And Jerry joins me now from Lawrenceville. Hey, Jerry, what's going on with you?
Well, I'm self-employed, and just recently I was looking to maybe buy a second home up in the mountains as a retirement investment. And I have a personal banker that I can sit down and talk with on the business side, and he basically explained to me that the new Dodd-Frank rules that have come into effect have got a lot of the mortgage people running scared right now. And basically I just kind of felt discouraged to even try to apply for a loan because I don't pay myself a lot of money simply for the fact that I'm self-employed, and they can't use any of my business history with that bank to, you know, justify whether or not I'm a good risk for a loan anymore.
So that's true and not true. I would say that there are some really stringent new rules. If you don't pay yourself a lot of money, the only way that they can judge you is being, you know, a good, you know, be able to, you have to be able to prove, if you're going to take a qualified mortgage, you have to be able to prove that the person who's borrowing the money can repay it. So if you're not showing on your taxes that you can repay that, and you don't have enough money in the bank to pay cash for it, that's going to be a problem for a qualified mortgage. But there are banks that are able to do these loans without, that go outside of those rules. And people who are self-employed may want to look there rather than, you know, going through the qualified mortgage process. But it certainly is another reason why people are not doing it. Doug, quickly, from Flowery Branch, why do you think people are not buying houses?
Well, two reasons, and I kind of relate to two experiences I had. First of all, I think for the first time in many, many years, people realize that property values can go down, and that's a huge difference in people's mindset. It always used to be, buy a house, you can't lose. You know, sort of an investment, if at least your downside's protected. And I know personally, I used to buy real estate as an investment, mostly land and things like that, fix it up. I don't even think about it anymore because I'm so worried about the possibility of it going down. Then the other experience I had is when my 10-year, in my 10-year equity line that I had with a major bank came, it was at the end of the period, I had to renew it.
Mm-hmm.
The hoops I had to jump through were ridiculous. Without throwing out numbers, there was a significant equity line. My net worth easily improved 25 times what I wanted for my equity line. Seriously. Now, I'm self-employed and I'm older, so I don't have that income stream, so my tax returns didn't look that good. But my credit rating, almost perfect, high 800s, but you know, close to perfect, everything. And finally, and when they finally were going to give it to me, and also in the house, the underlying property, was this, there's almost no mortgage on it. So the risk, I just kept on saying, there is no risk. I said to them, if you're giving me this kind of hard time, I'm almost a zero credit risk. What are you doing to other people?
And that is really the question. What are they doing to other people? And it is really hard. Thank you for sharing, Doug. That's really very helpful. 404-872-0750. More when we come back on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We're having an interesting conversation on Twitter about this as well, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, if you'd like to join me there. Or I don't know if you follow me on Google Plus, but I'm there as well, and I put it out there, so you can comment as you wish. Joe joins me on the line. Joe, why do you think people aren't buying houses?
I believe that the people that could qualify to buy the houses, most of them already own houses. Therefore, if they buy a home, They're probably going to have to go the renter route because it's going to be very difficult to turn that house around quickly. Even these homes, you know, years ago when folks were refurbishing homes and turning them around quickly and selling them, they didn't have to really deal with the having to bring a renter in. But I believe today, because the market is so sluggish, that folks would buy a home, have to deal with a renter, and sometimes you can hit a home run with a with somebody renting your house. But oftentimes, I believe it's more of a ground out, if not a strikeout. So I think that's difficult. And then one thing I want to ask you, and I'll hang up, and heard you mention something about the recession, that you believe we might fall into another recession. I was just curious if you could give just a Reader's Digest version on what are some of the indicators that you believe might lead us back into a recession sometime soon.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. I guess to say to fall back into a recession, an official recession, we'd have to kind of get out of it. I'm sort of the opinion that we haven't. Most of the country hasn't really gotten out of the recession. A recession is two quarters back-to-back of negative growth. We're at about, we've been at very sluggish growth. We were just at revised down last quarter of last year. It should have been a big quarter for us, and it wasn't, down to 2.4% growth. But some people think it's even lower, and the next revision is going to be in the 1% range. And once you're in the 1% range, it could might as well be zero. It's so sluggish that in some places it probably is negative growth. What do I think might cause that? I don't know. I think there's a confidence issue. I think that any sort of geopolitical uprising, whether it's Middle East, Russia, scary to people, something going on with Korea, anything that scares people on a physical level could cause just enough confusion and loss of confidence to send us backwards economically. And I think in a lot of other places around the world, we're doing better. You know, U.S. is doing better. A lot of other places not doing as well. And the world is so flat, as Thomas Friedman likes to say. What we do is so interdependent. I mean, think about the last time we had kind of a kerfuffle with Russia. It was Cold War, and we didn't have the kind of trading that we have going on right now that, you know, that we do. It really changes the dynamics. So I think it'll be interesting geopolitically what happens. That's where I think it'll come from. 404-872-0750. Carlos joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Carlos.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question today or comment?
Well, I'm moving from Atlanta to Hollywood, Florida. And I have no debt on us and got all my financials in order. And I was just wondering, I do like flipping homes one at a time, nothing huge. And I'm wondering, how's the market in Hollywood, Florida?
I don't know. I haven't been to Hollywood, Florida in a while. But I would say to you that before you buy, I would live there for a little while and start to talk to realtors who are there and investigate for yourself. Because like any marketplace, there are going to be some neighborhoods that are great for this and some neighborhoods that are terrible for this. And until you're on the ground, really going street by street, driving around, seeing how many for sale signs there are, how fast the growth is, what people are buying, what their money they're putting into these houses, and what kind of prices they're getting, how easy it is for them to sell, you're not going to really know whether flipping houses in Hollywood, Florida is going to be a good idea or not. And I don't know, because I literally haven't been to Florida in the last 6 months, maybe even the last year. And I haven't been to Hollywood, Florida in even longer than that. Make sense?
Okay. So, but whether it be in Hollywood, Florida, I mean, those are great points in different states and different regions of the country. Now, as far as being an investor, in real estate, is it still a good possibility, or should one just avoid being in it due to your topic as far as confidence in the market and the mortgage and bankers and this and all that?
So let me ask you a question, Carlos. Why are you moving to Florida?
I'm originally from Miami, so I miss my home.
Okay, so you miss your home. What are you going to do for work when you get there?
might have some options.
Okay. So when you feel confident about what you're going to be earning and that you're going to be able to bring in a steady income, and you have confidence in your location, you know, you already know it, you're from there, you're going back to Miami, Hollywood is right next door, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel confident about the neighborhood you want to buy in, what you're buying, what you want to invest in, the income that you have to support that, I think you're going to decide to buy something because you've done it before, I assume successfully, or you'd never want to do it again.
Right.
And this is how people gain the confidence they need to actually make these kinds of investments. You've got to have a whole bunch of pieces in place before you feel good about it. And so I'm addressing this to you individually, but I think this is a global sense, right? People normally don't look to buy property until they feel comfortable in their ability to repay it. Banks are now making that same decision, right? They're being forced on it. It's been forced on them to figure out that people actually can repay loans that they give them. That's what Dodd-Frank was partially about. So is it a good time to invest in real estate? I think it's a great time to invest in real estate. One of our callers earlier made the point that as mortgage interest rates rise, inflation is going to rise. You're going to be paying it back with cheaper dollars, and you're going to feel good if you get a loan at 4% or 4.5%, and you're able to, then the mortgage interest rates go up to 5.5% or 6%, and you're paying it back with cheaper dollars. You're going to feel good about that. You're going to get a renter in because it's going to be cheaper to rent than buy, so the number of renters is going to go up. There's a whole lot of things that go into play here, and so I do think it's a good time to buy a house to live in or to as an investment. I just think that that's a smart move. As long as you're buying for the right reasons, you've got the right kind of confidence in yourself and in the local marketplace, and you make a smart move. You don't just go willy-nilly and overpay for something. You're really thoughtful about what you're going to buy, how you're going to be able to rent it back, who you're going to rent it to, how easy or difficult that process is going to be. All of that goes into making that kind of decision. And once you do that and you're there, then you're going to be able to invest, buy to invest with confidence. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Gil joins me on the line from Douglasville. Gil, what's going on today?
Well, I've been listening to your broadcast, and I've heard some things. Number one, one thing I heard was the retired military man. He better check into a VA loan. He can get out. He can get away with a lot more with that than he can with a conventional. Now, I bought my house in 2002 with the idea of staying in it 8 to 10 years, selling it and getting the devil out of this area, and as an investment to keep from paying high rent. And I had Countrywide, which I never had a problem with. Then BOA took over when the debacle hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had nothing but trouble with these people. We bantered back and forth on the phone, and they finally sold my paper to NationStar, which I heard someone mention a little earlier, and they are professional liars. They will lie to your face.
All right.
And when you do try to get back in touch with someone you've talked with, it cannot be done. It's just a mess. I finally contacted a broker in the Atlanta area that got this thing taken care of and brought me down from a 6.375 to a 5.25. Now, I've been hearing for the past 4 months, 5 months, the 4.25 and 4.5 is the going rate. I wasn't able to get this thing refied until about 12 months ago. And I'm just wondering should I even try to do it again? I'm 69 years old.
All right, Gil, let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, is your house underwater?
Oh, yes. My house was valued at 130 before the debacle, and it went down to 35, according to what the foreclosures were selling in the neighborhood.
Okay. So have you looked lately? Are all the foreclosures gone?
Yes, but I have seen indications in the neighborhood and heard some things that there's going to be another round of foreclosures in the Atlanta metro area, especially within the next 6 to 8 months.
Okay. So I hear how bitter you are about this, and I don't blame you. I mean, watching your house go from $130,000 in value down to $35,000, that must have just cut you in half. And I can't blame you a bit for being angry and bitter about it.
Well, it's to the point that the devil with any upkeep, that at my age, I'll never be able to pay them off, and I'm stuck here now. And I wanted to get out of this area. That was the main reason for buying the house in the first place, was to have some investment, even if I only made $6,000 or $7,000 on the house.
Right.
Over a period of 10 years, that would have been fine.
Right. Well, and
again,
you didn't.
They talk about the recovery, and Clark Howard keeps talking about how great the recovery is. You know, he sits in his ivory tower. He doesn't see what's going on out here with the common person.
Listen, I've
got a 9 credit score, and it really bugs the devil out of me when I see people with high sixes and low to moderate sevens getting into these homes. And I found a couple of places that I could have possibly gone into. But find out that this thing about buying another home in the same zip area, you can't do it. If you've already got one on this HARP program and so forth,
So if you've refinanced under HARP and you're underwater as much as you are, 5.25% is the best rate you're going to get. You're not going to get 4.5%. It's not the going rate for you, unfortunately.
Tell me the value of the house has increased to about $50,000 now. But,
you know, it's not, Gil.
It's still less than half.
It is. And unfortunately, you're in a place where that's not going to help. You could have walked away from the house. You didn't. That probably didn't sit well with you. You could have walked away. A lot of people had. A lot of people still had. You are stuck in. If you're not willing to walk away, you are going to be stuck in that house. 5.25% is about as good as you're going to get. I can't offer you any magic pills. I wish I could. I really feel for you. You just bought it. 2002 was, you know, not the high, but it was pretty close, and you've gotten stuck. And that's just must feel really, really unfair to you. And I'm just so sorry. And I wish there was something I could do. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time on News Talk WSB. 55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750. The conversation today, why aren't you buying? Realtors want to know. On Twitter, got one comment about somebody who said, I've witnessed a lot of pain in the last 6 years due to home ownership. Proud, hardworking people wiped out. I've decided to pass. Another person, think it's a lack of confidence in this administration. We heard that earlier on the show, and a fear of greater taxation coming from it. I don't think anybody thinks about higher taxes when deciding to buy a house. Nobody said that today, but that's another one. Another guy who is a frequent Twitter connector says that low rates have been around so long that people can't get used to the idea of an increase, and it's slowing things down when people are going up. And then another one said, don't forget the tens of thousands of mortgage-related jobs all the banks are releasing due to lower mortgage volume expectations. So you can read all of the tweets about today's topic on @Glink, @GLINK, and join the conversation there as well. Jim joins me on the line now from Canton. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Elise. I had a question for you. I currently have a HARP loan, and it's for $250,000. The house is probably worth close to $300,000, but it's a 40-year loan, and it has I'm actually paying interest on about $200,000 of it. It has a $50,000 note. And it's at 2% right now. It goes up starting next year, and it starts. It tops out at about 5%.
Okay. And what is your question?
Well, is it better for me to refinance under today's rates with a 30-year, or is it better just to stay with what I have?
You know, you've got 2%. I don't like the idea of it being a 40-year loan, but I do think that you can fix that. 40-year loans have been outlawed under the new mortgage changes, so you couldn't even get a 40-year loan if you wanted one. But your loan tops out at 5%, which is not much higher than where it is right now, which is about 4.5%. So the real question is, you've got 2%, then it goes to 3%, then 4%, then 5%. You've got a 5-year window right. there.
Right.
I kind of think you might want to, you could refinance. You'd pay more because you'd go from 2% to 4.5%. But what you might want to do is prepay as much as you possibly can on this mortgage when it's at 2%. Because as that price goes up, you're going to find that you have to spend more and more money to keep up with it. And then try to refinance. You top out at 5%. You've got 3 more years to just prepay the heck out of this thing. Then you refinance, even though it's at 5%, let's say, or 5.5%, because you're going to have so much left that you're refinancing, I think you're going to find that the price is the same or even less. Or you may decide at 5%, you're just going to keep it where it is. But if you add up the savings over the next couple of years, I think you're going to find that keeping this loan, if you prepay it and get the years down, is going to be the best move. I got to go, folks. It is almost 59 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Find me online, thinkglink.com. Questions at thinkglink.com. At Twitter, thinklinkstore.com. Or just type in Elise Glink into Google, and it'll take you to my site. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.